Good morning, and welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, on this third Sunday after Epiphany. It is great to have you in this place today. If you are a guest from out of town, it is wonderful that you have chosen here to be the place where you worship this morning. At the end of service, give folks a chance to say hello and to give you some good tips on where to go in Savannah. As a church that is in the middle of finding a new settled pastor, we have had the privilege of having a lot of wonderful guests come and fill our pulpit, and today is no different. This morning, Reverend Jeffrey Howard is here. He is the associate pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina, and it is wonderful to have you here this morning. I'll let him say a little bit more about himself when he gets up to bring the sermon this morning. If you are a guest from in town, it is good to have you here. And as always, to those folks who are here every week, whose faces we see often and who we call family, the people we call community, who we walk through life together with, and who we today worship alongside, will you join me, everyone, as we worship together? And join me in this call to worship. God gathers us.
To share grace.
Jesus calls us
to bring justice to outsiders and to visit all who are alone and lonely.
The Spirit anoints us
to gather our hearts with spirit, to take hold of the lost, and to raise them to
Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. This is the day that you made, God, and we want to rejoice, and we're so glad in it. Holy Spirit, have that way. We ask, God, that you will come into this place and let it be a moving time, God, that where we can celebrate and lift up your name, God. This is the day that you call us to magnify your name, and at the name of Jesus, Lord, we're so excited. So, Lord, have your way in this place, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join me as we affirm our faith together. We, as members of First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia, covenant together to seek God's heart through active participation in worship, individual and congregational Bible study, and a life of personal and corporate prayer. In community, creating an atmosphere of welcome where all persons are accepted and respected, engaging each other in a celebration of all life, strengthening the unity of the church with honest and positive dialogue, and cultivating the next generation of children and youth through programs and participation. We embrace our calling with a commitment to undergird the church through a process of discerning our gifts, abilities, and resources, of exercising them as Christian stewards, support efforts in outreach and mission through active participation, and stand with the poor and powerless on issues of social justice.
Talk about promises today. Have you ever made a promise? Never, ever? No? Well, I have. So I can't ask you, have you ever broken a promise since you've never made one? Well, I have. After 72 years, it's got to be a time. I know I broke a promise. Well, we're going to talk about promises, and unfortunately, promises do get broken. First thing I'm going to talk about, this is a wedding band, and it's a complete circle. No ending, no beginning. And people give these to each other after they've made certain promises to each other when they get married, right? Have you ever gotten a letter in the mail? Has your mom ever gotten a letter in the mail? She gets letters. She gets bills. She gets, please send me money because blah, 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 blah. She gets things. All right, there's a stamp on that letter, and most of the time the post office has promised to get your letter there, and they do most of the time, sometimes late, but they get it there. So that's not a written down promise, but that's a promise you understand. Do you have a credit card? You gotta do that. No. Does your mom have a credit card? Yes. All right, what happens when she goes, y'all go out and she buys you a pair of shoes or a school uniform, or you've got to go to a birthday party, so she buys that. Does she have to sign anything? What she's signing is saying, I agree to pay this bill when it comes in. That's my promise. That's my promise. All right, when you see this, do you think of anything? I think about God, think about Jesus and his body on the cross. Well, God made promises too. Now, do you think he ever broke a promise? Go ahead. No, not ever, ever, not once. How do we know this? How do we know that God promises us things and he's going to keep his word? Well, I could not print them all. And I don't even know how many, but there are dozens and dozens and dozens. But I want to read you some that I think are really super. All right, this is from Isaiah. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I love this one. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And this one, though the mountains be shaken and the hills removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, and my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. When I say you, I mean it's the big, it's the everybody, you. All right. For I know the God, I know the plans I have for you, says God. Plans to prosper you and not ever to hurt you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Is that cool or what? He's not ever going to hurt you. He has plans for you. And all the other youths in the congregation too. All right, the last one, and I love this one too. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. I love that one. Let's say a prayer before you go back. Dear God, thank you for being our faithful Heavenly Father. Thank you that you keep your promises even if we can't, because we're only human. Help us to always lean on you, listen for your voice, and do your bidding. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Our first lesson today comes from Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them he has sent a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern his errors? Clear thou me for hidden faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12 and ending in verse 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with great respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Here ends the second reading.
Gospel lesson is from St. Luke's Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, and he told them a parable to pray and to not lose heart. He said in a certain city, there's a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, vindicate me against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God vindicate his elect, or cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the written word of the Lord. Certainly, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And certainly, it is an honor to be with you this morning, all the way from Columbia, South Carolina. First of all, I thank the officers of this great church, to Tricia, and to especially Josh for welcoming me, and to this great choir. I mean, I can't sing. My wife would say don't sing, but don't they sound good back there? Certainly, we bring you greetings from the Trinity Baptist Church, where I serve as associate pastor. My wife and 2-year-old daughter, Elizabeth, sends their love. We have a major church service today, so they are participating in that, so I came solo. But again, I greet you and just want to say thank you again for this wonderful opportunity as we try to share what the Lord has on our heart. Amen. Now, I'm from a tradition where we do call and response, and that may not be your tradition. So if something touches you and you don't feel led to say amen, just do me a favor and just wave your hand, okay? If something touches you, just wave your hand at me, okay? Amen. There was a young man who went to a drugstore and went inside and had 3 boxes that he wanted to purchase. He wanted to purchase a small, a medium, and a large box. When the pharmacist asked about the 3 boxes, he said, well, I have these 3 boxes because I'm going over to my new girlfriend's house and we're going to dinner and we're going out on a date. The small box is for her if she lets me hold her hand. The medium box is if she lets me kiss her on the cheek. And then the large box is if she really lets me give her a kiss. He paid for the 3 boxes, told the pharmacist, have a wonderful day, and out the door he went. Later that night, as he entered his new girlfriend's house at dinner, the dinner was served, and he raised his hand and asked, could he pray? And they said, sure, go ahead on and pray. So he prays, and he prays, and I mean, this prayer is going on for about 5 minutes now. And after that, he says, amen. His new girlfriend looks at him and says, you didn't tell me you could pray like that. And he said, you didn't tell me your father was a town pharmacist. Jesus had a lot to say about prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. When his disciples was around him, they never said, teach us how to pray or teach us how to do miracles, nor teach us how to love people. But they rather asked, Lord, teach us how to pray. Show us how to pray. And the one thing that I could point out in this particular text, and particularly Jesus' life, that we can all attribute, that the one thing that stood out about Jesus was his prayer life. This brings us to our text today. The widow in our text was tired of being sick and tired. This fearless widow confronts an equally fearless judge who on one end had no incentive to do the right thing. In fact, it was a dog fight, unequal proportion. I'm a big wrestling fan, and I go back to the days of Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and Mae Young. And this is the kind of stuff that you will see in a WWE matchup. Yet this woman's relentless cries and prayers eventually do win out, which encourages us today not to give up. I must admit, during my prayer life at times, I would go down just because I knew what I was supposed to say. But as I went down to do my prayers, I had the notion that nothing mattered anyway. Anybody ever been there before? I had already given up. And you see, it doesn't matter sometimes what we do on the outside that counts for God. Rather, it's what's on the inside that God is looking at, because he knows the real us. Not the us who comes to Sunday morning services in our suits and ties. Not the us that puts on the nice dresses and the wonderful makeup and perfume. As preachers, not the us that puts on the robes and the stoles and the garments. But God knows the real us. And that's good news, because the songwriter penned it perfectly. Smiling faces do tell lies. And that is why we can all be encouraged here this morning, is that our God is for us. And I really don't care what the situation is. Could be about your situation could be on the brinks of collapse. Your marriage could be about to end. You could be about to quit this ministry in this church. Your kids could be out of control. The good news from this text, First Baptist of Savannah, is that we serve an on-time God. Yes, he is. I ought to have 2 or 3 witnesses out there to say, young man, I know what you're talking about. When the bottom fell out, God was right there. When the doctor gave me that diagnosis, here am I today. I was once lost, but now I'm found. This parable is not just about injustice, but it's about prayer and the need to pray always without losing heart. And what's interesting is that this judge could have been appointed to by Roman authorities. He could have been taking bribes. But you see, this widow in the text had no money to bribe this wicked judge. So her only hope was to come before him repeatedly crying, "Grant me justice, vindicate me." Yet time and time again, we see in this text how he brushes her off. And in verse 5, he admits that she's bothering him. The Greek word translated here literally means to be poked in the eye. I don't know about you, but have you ever been poked in the eye? It is the most irritating thing that you can ever experience. So no, she doesn't literally poke him in the eye, but she is close enough to irritate him, and it pays off. He rules in her favor. And so the good news for us is that when you and I find ourselves in difficult situations, no matter where you are on this faith journey, and if we call ourselves wanting to push our way through this thing called life, the first thing you and I have to do is to remember to pray. But how do we pray? I mean, we got the Lord's Prayer, we have written prayer, we have books about 10 ways how to pray. Well, somebody showed me this unique thing, and I want to leave it here with you today. As you put your hands together, the thumb represents praying for those who are closest to your heart, remembering your family, your wives, and your spouses, and not taking that for granted. The pointing finger points for those who have authority over your life. Josh, minister, or those in leadership, we pray for those who give us direction. Sunday school teacher, this wonderful wonderful person who brought the Sunday school lesson for the children this morning. This high finger points to those who are in governmental offices. I don't know whether you're Democrat or Republican, it really don't matter. We live in a world today that is so divided, and we ought to pray for our leaders. The ring finger serves as the weakest finger, and I heard in your beautiful affirmation, praying for those who are least among us. And by the time you get to the ring finger, the pinky finger, which represents you, I mean, is there really anything left? I want to leave that with you today. And you see, if you and I have a consistent prayer life, you and I really wouldn't have to worry about much if we keep those things in mind. You see, in our story, this widow faced a difficult situation that disturbed her so much that she felt like she had to do something. But you see, this widow wasn't at home on Facebook or Instagram posting about injustices. She wasn't tweeting her problems away. Instead, this bold woman confronts injustice face to face. First of all, she shows us that if you first don't succeed, try and try again. And for you and me, sometimes that can be hard. You see, it's hard to say that you're going to stand your ground when you're facing injustice. It's hard to hold firm to faith when somebody doesn't appreciate you for who you are in life. You see, it's hard to sit around knowing that you're in a position of power and yet you sit by and say nothing while others are watching and being victimized and abused. That's hard. But whether you and I want to or not, we have to speak up. And one reason is because people's lives depend on you and I. A whole generation can sink or swim based off of our decisions that we make today. And you see, this woman knew that the only person that can help her was this judge. And if you look in the text, that's why Jesus encourages you and I not to give up. The Greek word translate give up literally means to be filled with bad thoughts. That is why we ought to keep our minds clear of clutter. CNN, MSNBC, Fox, we ought to keep our minds off clutter. We must keep our minds on the Word of God. You see, our minds can easily drift if not careful. And I leave a question with you today. Where is your mind? The OJ said it this way: your body is here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. And so I ask you today, First Baptist of Savannah, where is your mind this morning? Our text reminds you and I, however, for good news purposes, not to quit and to remain persistent. You see, it's easy to give up when there's no evidence in front of us. But that is why the writer in Hebrews tells us to walk by faith and not by sight, and to remain persistent in our prayers. If I could bring it home a little closer, I'm a big Law and Order fan. Anybody watch Law and Order, SVU, Criminal Intent? I love that show. And if this was Law and Order and I was Jack McCoy, I beg you for permission this morning to introduce a couple of witnesses to help me prove my point about persistent prayer. If I could call my first witness, Hannah, she prayed a persistent prayer and asked God for a baby time and time again. She was persistent for years until she had a breakthrough and God gave her Samuel. Paul prayed a persistent prayer and asked God to take his thorn away. Yet God said to him, "My grace is all that you need." Jesus prayed a persistent prayer and asked the Father to take the cup away from him. In fact, he was so persistent that drops of blood flowed down. And if I could bring in an even a more personal account, I was locked up some 12 years ago when I left high school. I prayed a persistent prayer when I was behind those bars, and I looked down and knelt as I looked at that iron cast bed with no mattress. And I asked God, has my life gotten that, has it gotten that bad, God, to where I was gangbanging in the streets and had to be locked up? But somebody say, thanks be to God. Some 12 years later, I've since got married, since got my Master of Divinity, working on my Master of Sacred Theology, and soon this year I'll be preparing for my doctoral degree as I'm an associate pastor. Don't tell me God can't do nothing with a persistent prayer. And even in this situation, as we think about where we are right now in this times, even the best people get knocked down alive. Bad things really do happen to good people. But what sets them apart from the quitters is that they get right back up. Life is full of things that may try to tackle you and I. And this poor widow is no example. I mean, it's no short of a good example of that. This poor widow in Jesus' parable was knocked down flat, but she refused to stay down. She got up and persistently made her request to this judge. And you and I have an adversary who try to oppose us on every hand. The devil doesn't want us to pray, and he'll do everything to make sure that we stop praying. But we must hang in there, because everything is in the balance and it counts. And as I try to come to some kind of close, I had a privilege of taking care of Congressman Jim Clyburn on the commencement service at Lutheran Theological Seminary some 2 years ago as he was honored with an honorary doctorate of divinity. But I asked him, what's one thing that you can share with a young faith leader? And I believe his advice gives me the courage to speak up for where we are today and as it relates to this text. And he said, Jeff, if I could share one thing with you, I ask that you look at the example of the turtle. I love the turtle because the turtle takes his time and endures to the end. He doesn't give up and isn't concerned with time. He just knows that he has a destination, and his mind makes him determined to get there. He said after 3 strikes for running for office, they asked him, Jim, are you going to quit? And he said, no, why would I do that? Those are baseball rules. He said if he wasn't persistent, he would not be where he is today, nor have had the impact on the people's that he lives that he has touched today. And he said the turtle reminds you and I that if we remain persistent in all we do, let nothing stop you from getting on your knees to push. And that brings me to the sermon topic today. Pray until something happens. You see, Christ prayed until something happened, until he had the peace to go on to Calvary. As we're on the eve of Black History Month, Fannie Lou Hamer and others prayed until black folks and white folks could stand in line hand in hand and have the same rights as others. As we push and push on, Savannah, no matter where you and I or what life throws your way, we can push because the Word of God encourages us and reminds us that we have the victory. First Baptist, keep pushing. Keep praying until something happens. Pray on this, not only on this Sunday morning, but pray in the evening. Pray just whenever God convicts you to pray. Pray until something happens. And if I don't say anything else to you as I head on back up this road on this day, you keep pushing. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may heaven smile upon you.
Thank you.
This is our call to prayer as we go now into our silent prayers. Amen. God, we thank you on this day, and we thank you for who you are in our lives. Lord, we confess our sins to you. Search our hearts, God, those things that we hold treasure to us. If it causes us to be a stumbling block to others, help us, God, not to be a stumbling block. If those things are stumbling blocks to ourselves, help us not to hold on to them. Lord, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for being the great God, our Savior, our Redeemer. We thank you, God, that we have an opportunity to worship together and to lean on each other in times of strength. We ask, God, that you will just look upon us now, and we thank you for the prayers. We pray for those who are less fortunate. We pray for those close to our hearts. We pray for everybody of the First Baptist of Savannah, Georgia, and we give you praise for the great things you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Now let us go into the prayer that our Father taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We give in grateful thanksgiving for all God has given us. In the upside-down world of Jesus, we measure wealth not by what we have, but by what we can give away. So let us give away generously, giving in this offering in hope. Hope that it will be used to bless your church, your people, and your creation, God, and your world. Let's all pray together. God who hears our prayers, the God who gives and then gives more, as we have given offerings of money, remind us that we have other gifts as well. Not noted on our bank statements or balance sheets, you have given each of us spiritual gifts, not to make us rich, but to make the world richer, more compassionate, and more just, because we are here, and you are here. Open our eyes to those gifts, and where and when you would have us use them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The invitation to Christian discipleship is open right now for any who want to follow Jesus, or anyone desiring to join this worshiping community here, or if you just want to come and pray at the kneelers, they are here for you to be able to do that as well. You can do that as we sing this great hymn together. Seated. Just a couple of announcements. First, thank you, Jeffrey, for being here this morning. That was quite a gift. And wonderful. Yeah, there we go. I'm going to say it again. That was a great gift, Jeff. There we go. All right. A couple of announcements. One, Wednesday night activities this week. Dinner is at 5. Activities are at 6. And this week, we get the privilege of hosting some families for Family Promise this week. And they will be arriving today. So if you can, pray for them this week. Pray for the volunteers who will be staying nights here. And also for those of you who are making meals for those families. It's a great opportunity and a great ministry for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus to people who need to know what it is like to be loved by Christ for the week that they are here. With that, I think that is it. Jeffrey will be at the door back here for you all to say hello to him before he heads back to South Carolina. And so hear this benediction as we leave today. Go out, clothed in strength and dignity. Submit yourself to God and resist the darkness. Delight in the Lord's teaching. Open your hands to the poor and let your actions arise from the wisdom of God. And may God draw near to you and strengthen you. May Christ Jesus teach you the ways of simplicity. And may the Holy Spirit fill you with wisdom and make you fruitful in peace and in righteousness. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.